will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones. He planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not even to rain upon it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, and heard cries of distress. This is the word of the Lord.
A few minutes' time. It's John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8, and it's on page 1083 of our Bibles. John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus speaking to his disciples. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Do sit down. I brought a visual aid with me this morning. half an hour ago, that was in great shape, and I cut it off as I left my flat. And it's got no hope, has it? No hope. Attractive now. Even if we put it in water, how long will it last, Jill? Not very long. About 3 or 4 days. But if I'd left it where it was this morning, then the whole glory of it and the reproductive process and all the rest of it would be in full spate. Jesus said, remain in me. Remain in me, and then we have life. This passage in John chapter 15 is a special passage to me because quite some years ago, I was the speaker at a church youth club weekend down on the Isle of Wight, what used to be the Dodner Creek Sailing Centre. It's now called the Medina Valley Centre, I think. And there was 30, 35 youngsters there for the weekend. It was Easter weekend, and I was the guest speaker. We had a little time of prayer and Bible reading, and I chatted for a short time in the morning. Then they were out sailing all day, which is what it was all about, and then back in the evening, have a meal, and we'd have a longer time then of fellowship together, and again, I would speak. And I had this passage, this chapter, as my sort of theme for the weekend. And one morning, as I started to speak, I became conscious that my notes were becoming a bit irrelevant. And as I carried on speaking, the notes became totally irrelevant. I was just talking about this passage. It was one of those occasions in my life where I felt I was being taken over by the Spirit of God. When I finished, we had coffee and all the usual excitement. We're now going sailing. And two of the youngsters, two of the girls, or 15, 16-year-olds, said, we'd really quite like to carry on with what you were talking about this morning. And then some others joined in. And the long and short of it was that they decided to abandon sailing that morning, which was impossible. That's what they were there for. That was the excitement, in order to come back and learn more about John chapter 15. It was a most extraordinary moment in my life. And therefore, this chapter is a very special chapter to me. We had a wonderful, wonderful time. I could say an awful lot more about that weekend, because it developed into some wonderful times afterwards with a group that I talked to, had session with every Friday evening for about 15 years. Wonderful, wonderful time. God was just, it was his spirit that came in. That's nothing to do with the passage as such. It's to do with my experience of the passage. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he's preparing them for the fact that he's going to go shortly. He's going to ascend up to heaven. He's going to be crucified, rise, and go. And therefore, two chapters previously, John chapter 13, if you've got a Bible, look, but otherwise, don't worry, I shall read it a few verses out. John chapter 13, verse 33, Jesus said, "My children, I'll be with you only a little longer. You look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come." A couple of verses further down, Simon Peter in verse 36 asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Why can't we follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you." And then verse 38, this very famous verse, Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times." Poor old Peter, that such well-known verse. Then chapter 14, verse 2, "In my Father's house, says Jesus, are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you." A couple of verses further on, "You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you'd know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." And then finally, just two verses, verse 26, 27, again in John chapter 14, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." So Jesus has already, just in that the earlier couple of chapters, preparing the disciples, trying to explain to them that he isn't going to be around very much longer. And then when we get to John chapter 15, he says, "I am the true vine. I am the true vine." What's the significance of the true vine? And that was the passage that Don read a little earlier on from Isaiah. That concept of the vine, and the vine being representing the children of God, was something that the disciples would know well. It was part of the Old Testament teaching. It was illustrating what was going to happen, that passage that said the children of Israel wrecked the vineyard and therefore it was destroyed and so on. So Jesus said, "Look, I am the true vine." That's what the story in the Old Testament was leading up to. "I am the true vine. Remain in me," says Jesus. We're just looking at a couple of issues this morning. This is one of them. Remain in me, says Jesus. And I've often thought, well, it's fine to say that, but how do we remain in him? It's a wonderful illustration. Get this and sort of plug it back in and, well, fine, all the juices will flow. And one can use that illustration for us as Christians. If we're plugged in, well, yeah, but how do we get plugged in? Can I just read one verse from a little later on in the chapter, verse 10? Jesus said, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love." Remaining in him starts off with our obeying his commands. The Message version of the Bible, which can be so wonderful, says, "Make your home in me as I make it in you." It's a nice way of putting it. Make your home in me as I make my home in you. And then in verse 5, Jesus says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Well, we've looked at that flower. It's going to die. Without the stem, without the whole goodness coming from that soil, it's going to die. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The branch on its own is absolutely helpless and hopeless. There is no hope of fruit coming on a branch that is not logged in to that stem, to that vine. Paul said, speaking to the Galatians, "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. And that branch bears the fruit of the tree. Not the other way round. The branch bears the fruit of the tree. The fruit that comes from our lives as we are plugged in to the vine is the fruit that comes from Jesus. We remain in him, he remains in us, and the fruit comes from that relationship. You can't have a branch that says, "I'd rather have oranges, so let's skip the apple tree I'm on and we'll have oranges one year." But silly, you can't do that. You can't do that. The fruit comes from the tree that you're in, and we, as his servants, as his children, are part of that vine, which is him. He is the true vine. Secondly, he prunes or cleans. And he makes the comment there in verse 3. He says, "You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you." Pruning and cleaning, it's the same thing. And he's saying to the disciples, "You're already clean. You've learnt from me." But pruning is a concept we find a bit difficult to accept, because here we are, we're remaining in him, and yet pruning seems a bit painful as you look at those secateurs there. And one illustration I remember so well in church I first went to when I came down to London was at St Paul's Church over in Cheam, Howell Hill Cheam, the church on the roundabout. When I arrived those years ago, it was just being built. And it really grew. It was wonderfully exciting. And there was a lot of house groups, home groups, cell groups there. And they were growing and they were splitting because there were so many in them. And one group just never made it. Somehow, people seemed to move away. And for whatever reason, work or whatever, they couldn't go. And the couple who ran the group were distraught. They really were, because everything else was growing. And their little group wasn't. And they said, "Well, it can't possibly be God's fault. This is his work. It must be us, so we'll work harder." And the vicar had the difficult task of sitting with them and saying, "Look, this work has been great, but the time's come now to prune. This house group we'll cut. You move on to other things." And to say they were upset would be putting it mildly, but it was the right thing. We don't have, as John put it at that stage, the right of divine perpetuity. We feel it's God's work, so it'll go on forever. Well, yes, God's work will go on forever, but a particular role that we might be playing may need changing. We often talk about pain, suffering. We could do without that, but there's a pruning nature involved, I think, where we do suffer. We are stronger people as a result of it. I'm well aware of one particular friend of mine who tragically lost their daughter in her mid-20s. Absolutely devastating. But my, how strong she and her husband are as Christian counsellors because of the pain, because of the experience that they've been through. Yes, he prunes. But remain in him. He deals with dead branches. Only those who aren't bearing fruit, the disobedient, they're going to get cut off that vine and destroyed. But let's be clear, the Bible also says, none can pluck them from my hand. If we are those who are following Jesus Christ, and yeah, we have our problems, we all know that, he's got us in his hand. Nobody's going to pull us out. But that's quite different to us just simply losing interest and walking away. Dead branches just get hacked off, thrown on the ground, and destroyed. But that only comes when we walk away from him, because he certainly doesn't walk away from me. Whoops. Where's the go back? Oh, that one. No. Oh, no, we are in trouble. Thank you. If you remain in me, says Jesus, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. We've moved on one. Can you go back one more? Right, that's it. That's fine. I'll move on to the next one in a moment. Remain in me, the dead branches. And then finally, I'm onto it now. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. The last verses of the passage we've been reading. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Now, this is a passage, it's a verse which has puzzled me for years, and I guess most of us. Ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Well, yeah, I'm remaining in him. Personally, I've got my home in him and he in me. Ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. And I guess healing is a classic one where we see a situation and we plead, Lord, heal. That's my prayer. But it isn't given to me. And as I've thought through and puzzled over this, it's become clear to me that if in fact one really is remaining in that vine, Jesus and ourselves become the same thing. We're logged in, and therefore his thinking and our thinking become the same thing. And so we can get to a stage, and I think I've met people where remarkable things happen because they are so logged in to Jesus Christ that their wishes are his wishes, and therefore inevitably whatever they ask will be given because they're asking what God himself wishes, because their thinking is identical. Do you get me on that? That's the conclusion I come to, and I say I have seen it in some people, and you say, my, what a remarkable man, a remarkable woman. And yet when you look at them, boy, they are special. And yeah, all of us are doing our best to remain in him and he in us, and it's true. But somehow there are some who've got that real integration with Jesus, and it seems to me that in that situation, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Not an easy one. But as we finish, just let's remember that one doesn't look at a branch and say, aha, nice branch and go back tomorrow and say, well, it seems to have disappeared. And I don't mean this one because I've cut it off, but on a tree. And somebody say, oh, yes, but that was the Sunday branch you were looking at. It's Monday now. That branch is there for good, isn't it? It's part of the vine. And it's there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It's there every day. We don't have Sunday branches that disappear on Monday. We are part of. Our home is with Jesus. His home is with us. We are logged in as branches on the vine. We remain in him and he remains in us. And there is the strength of our life. He prunes, sure. Painful, yeah. But look what happens the following year when the old secateurs have been at work. It's for our good. And it's for our good as we remain in him, as we live for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful passage. And we just ask that we, your servants here today, may learn more and more from what you tell us, that we may remain more and more firmly in you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.